Welcome to Dubs OT, your weekly Warriors podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring interviews with players, coaches, and media members. Dubs OT is brought to you by TPC Harding Park in San Francisco, home of the 2020 PGA Championship. Toscalito Tire and Automotive, your one-stop on-the-spot auto service headquarters in San Francisco and the North Bay. Terzo, an authentic upscale European restaurant in the Cal Hollow neighborhood in San Francisco. And Rose's Cafe, a favorite local hangout also in Cal Hollow. Now here are your hosts, Ray Woodson and Joe Castellano.
Coming up, we'll talk about the Warriors' loss on Sunday in Minnesota. We'll hear from Kevin Durant and head coach Steve Kerr. But first, I want to tell you about our favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. Live in San Francisco and love to play golf? Visit TPC Harding Park and purchase your two-year resident card, giving you immediate savings on golf and other programs at the park. Cut your green fees in half by purchasing your card today. Visit www.tpc.com/Harding Park for more information. Well, Ray, the good news, even though the Warriors have lost a couple games in a row and they've got all these injuries, good news is they made the playoffs again. No surprise, but it's official now. They have clinched a playoff spot for the sixth consecutive year. So I thought I'd start out with some good news. Why not, right?
Woohoo! All right. Cleared that hurdle. Used to be a big deal. Now we take it for granted.
And it came with Houston winning. That actually put the Warriors in the playoffs because, I don't know, I guess because San Antonio lost and it made it the configuration so that the Warriors clinched a berth because the Rockets won, although the Rockets now are two games in front of the Warriors as far as the best record in the West.
Yeah, and they have the tiebreaker as well. So with all the injuries the Warriors have, and you know, you'd imagine they're going to slow play Steph Curry, there's really no reason to make a hard charge for the number one seed. If it happens, it happens. It doesn't look like it's in the cards right now because you know half the team is either sidelined or playing hurt. So the good news for them is the schedule gets pretty easy the rest of the way. They just finished up playing three games in four nights, a couple on the road. I don't think they're going to have those kind of challenges. So it's all about getting healthy for the playoffs now.
One thing I think they learned is that some of these opponents, I mean, even though the Warriors are shorthanded, some of these opponents are going to be maybe more difficult than people thought maybe at the beginning of the season. I mean, look at the Blazers have been playing great basketball, and they really handed it to the Warriors. And, you know, Timberwolves, even though they got slowed down for a while there, they look really good. I mean, they've got so many good young players, and Karl Anthony Towns was such a dominant force, really, at the end of the game. You see what he can do when you get him the ball down low. Plus, he could step out. He had a three where he just did a step back. I didn't even know he had that in his repertoire. But, you know, he's got a lot going for him. And that team, you know, maybe they could do some damage in the postseason.
Well, we'll put Karl Anthony Towns on the short list of scariest players in the near future in the NBA.
Yeah.
You know, Anthony Davis is there. Damian Lillard is already there. And he's taken a step up this year, and that backcourt is so dynamic, and they're a worthy challenge to the Splash Brothers when the Warriors are healthy. But, you know, I mean, the thing we're seeing right now is how much they miss Steph Curry. We knew they would miss them. You know, we thought that they could get by. They still have three All-Stars, but the problem is the bench is decimated. But when Curry is not in there, you hear the word gravity a lot with Curry because he draws the defense to him. And he's such a key for that offense. I think Kevin Durant alluded to that. That you know, he is the system. The defense is cheating toward him, leaving openings elsewhere. You move the ball, you move around, you're going to find something. Now that he's not in there, it's a little tougher. I mean, Durant can get his shots, no doubt about it. Klay Thompson has a little more difficulty with that. So what you're seeing now is guys are forcing shots, and they're not as efficient. I mean, Thompson, I think, had 21 points on 22 shots in Minnesota, and Durant wasn't much more efficient either. He was 11 for 32 from the field, even though he ended up scoring 39. I mean, Durant's just tremendous, but you can't lean on him every single night. And there were some nights where I'm asking, are they going to get some help for this guy? And, you know, Klay can chip in from time to time, but I think out of all the Warriors, maybe he's the one who misses Curry the most.
Yeah, I mean, every time Curry's been out this year, and he had that stretch with the ankle problem earlier, KD has really had to step up. They're basically leaning on him to do everything. Let's hear what KD had to say about the Warriors playing shorthanded.
It's something we got to deal with, something that we just got to figure out, work through, and it's been actually been pretty fun trying to figure things out throughout the game. Everybody's just, you know, coming together even better. We lost two in a row, but, you know, the energy on the bench was great. The coaching staff has been digging down deep, trying to find things for us that'll work. Because, like I said before, our offense is predicated on Steph and Clay kind of, you know, running around the three-point line, knocking down three-point shots and spreading out. And, you know, without Steph there, you know, Quinn is asked to do a lot. So, you know, it's definitely a different dynamic when you have, opposed to Steph Curry, you don't have Quinn Cook. So he's doing a good job of stepping in and playing extremely hard and proud of
him. Yeah, I mean, there's only so much you can expect out of Quinn Cook. I did like what Durant said about how it's fun to try to figure this out. Yeah, it's fun for him because, you know, he gets to really display his offense, and he has stepped up. I mean, you know, scoring 40 in that loss in Portland and 39, even though, like you said, he wasn't efficient shooting the ball, but still scored 39. So he has a little bit of fun with it, but it is tough. I mean, especially like you said, Ray, the bench. When you can't go to an Iguodala, who basically is your best guy off the bench because he's hurt, and Jordan Bell's been out now for, you know, a pretty good stretch of time with the two ankle issues. I mean, those were some guys that were really going to be counted on coming off the bench. And, you know, now you got an injury also to David West, and he's another guy who you'd count on a lot off the bench. So right now, I mean, it's not a team that even looks like the Warriors after you get through the starting lineup.
Well, yeah, talking about West, I mean, look at Portland Friday night, and Ed Davis just inhaled every rebound available when he was in there. I'd have to think that West is going to take some of those if he's playing with the second unit. And by the way, and I've mentioned this on postgame shows in the past, I always thought Ed Davis would make a good Warrior. You get him on the floor with a couple of shooters, and he's going to get a bunch of offensive rebounds for you. And they killed him on the boards, especially the offensive boards Friday. And so I think that's where they really miss David West. And that's a concern, the cyst on his right arm. I guess he's going to have another evaluation of that coming up. Saw a dermatologist on Sunday, and maybe we'll get an update this week. But, you know, with a possible infection, that's of concern. And really what it comes down to, Joe, this is the one thing that could short-circuit the Warriors in the postseason: injuries. And you could say that about every team, but I think that's maybe the only thing that could short-circuit the Warriors if they keep piling up the injuries. So the job one right now is to get everybody back and right before the regular season. You got West, you got Iguodala with the left wrist sprain, you got Jordan Bell, the right ankle sprain, McCaw has the fractured left wrist. He may be coming back pretty soon. He could practice this week. You've got, of course, Steph with the ankle injury, and they'll take another look at him on Tuesday. Clay was playing with a sprained right thumb in Minnesota. And Nick Young was playing with a hip contusion, and he's just got to be out there because they're so shorthanded right now. Iguodala was in the pregame warm-up Sunday, but they decided not to play him. And, I think that's probably long-term going to be a wise decision for him, because especially with a veteran like Iguodala, they need him so much in the postseason. Just make sure that he is postseason Andre like we've seen in the past. So, yeah, there are a lot of problems. Like I said, half this team hurt or playing hurt. That's not where you want to be in mid-March, but that's where they are. The main thing is to have all hands on deck in April.
Dubs OT continues right after this.
Are you looking for a great place for dinner? Then you really need to try Terzo, an authentic, upscale European neighborhood restaurant in the heart of Cow Hollow in San Francisco. When you sit down at your table at Terzo, you will feel the warm and welcoming ambiance. They make you feel like you're at home with great service and a delicious meal. Serving dinner only, Terzo offers unique food drawn from the Mediterranean region. They change their menu daily based on the local availability of product. Open 7 days a week, Terzo suggests reservations, but they do have a bar area available for walk-ins. Check out their website at terzosf.com for daily menus and hours. Drop by Terzo at 3011 Steiner at Union Street in San Francisco for an exceptional neighborhood dining experience and your private dining needs.
Well, after the way you detailed all of the injuries, I think Chelsea Lane, the team trainer, is the busiest person on the Warriors staff right now. You know, is dealing with all this. Unfortunately, none of these injuries are super serious. I mean, like you said, you could be concerned about David West and maybe an infection, but the one that really, you know, stands alone as the big concern is Steph Curry, just because of who he is and what he means. And you got to worry about this ankle now because, you know, they call it a tweak, but I don't know. I mean, a tweak to me is something that you just come back a few minutes later into the game, not miss right. games because of it. And, you know, I know I'm concerned about it because you wonder how weak is that ankle? How many more times will he tweak it or sprain it? And I don't even know if rest is something that's going to cure it. It's just one of those things that's happening to him this season, and it's just got to be so frustrating for him.
Well, yeah, especially when you land on somebody's foot. What can you do about that?
Right.
That stuff is going to happen. You know, in the mad scramble under a hoop. So, you know, I guess that's the wise thing to do. Slow play it, rest him as much as you can. There's really not an urgency to do anything else at this point. But I'd imagine you want to get in a couple games at least before the regular season ends, make sure he's sharp and good to go. I think, you know, whoever they play in the first round, and who knows who that's going to be at this point, who's going to be the seventh seed? There's so many teams just bunched so close together in the 5, 6, 7, 8 spots. But I think whoever it is, they can beat them. But, you know, again, make sure everybody is there and ready to go if you possibly can. So, and the thing with Curry's ankle, I mean, you know, that's the one thing that allowed the Warriors to sign him to such team-friendly deals, it turned out to be several years ago, that the 4 years and $44 million. And that was one of the things that allowed them the room to sign Kevin Durant. So in the long term, the maybe the most valuable player in the Warriors' history is Curry's ankles. But now that you have Durant, you see how badly they miss him against certain teams, especially a team like Portland, which is definitely on the come up. You want Curry to be ready if they have to face the Trailblazers in the postseason. And again, if he's ready, if he's right, if the bench is pretty much intact, I favor them against everybody. I still do, even Houston.
I wonder, I mean, how he's going to handle it if he does play in some of these games here down the stretch of the regular season as far as, you know, being concerned about the ankle. I mean, that's the thing you don't want to do. You don't want to go out there and play not to get injured. And usually Steph doesn't do that. But now that it's happened a few times this season, you know, I just wonder how that's all going to play out for him.
Well, it's got to be frustrating because you know he is going to go out there and play full speed. You end up getting hurt, I think, more often when you're thinking about it and you're being tentative. Just go out there and play and let the chips fall where they may. And, you know, he's been, by and large, a durable player the last several years. I think he's averaged about 78 games the last several seasons. So the problem was, you know, he got into the postseason a couple of years ago. We know what happened in Houston. I think maybe the most important player in the postseason that year was the flop sweat of Mota Yunus.
Right, down there right when he slipped on it, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's a freakish thing. And landing on somebody's foot is a freakish thing. It does happen. Kawhi Leonard had somebody land on his foot last year, and look what happened. That stuff does happen in the NBA, although the Spurs have another theory about that with Zaza. We won't get into that right now. But there's a lot of randomness in the play. You just can't think about it. So I would think what they're going to do is bring him back a little slowly. Maybe I don't know if they necessarily need a minutes limit, but I think they're going to look at it as who's the opponent. Can we get by with having him out there for 20, 25 minutes? But I think they definitely want him ramped up to the regular 30, 35 minutes by the end of the regular season.
We'll continue our Warriors conversation right after this from Toscalito Tire and Automotive.
You have to admit, collecting NBA titles is a new trend for the Warriors, but at Toscalito Tire and Automotive, they've been winning since 1971 with quality tires and reliable auto and light truck repair at 6 Bay Area locations near you. Toscalito Tire and Automotive will take care of you like family, and they offer a nationwide warranty backed by the strength of the Goodyear Tire and Service Network. And unlike watching close Warriors games, going to Toscalito equals a stress-free life. With 4 Marin locations, plus the Marina in San Francisco and Vallejo, Toscalito, more than just a tire store.
Since you mentioned Kawhi Leonard, there's a report out there that he could be coming back soon, and that would mean so much to the Spurs, no matter where they are seated, because right now they're down near the bottom, but they could be a first-round surprise winner If they have Kawhi Leonard, I mean, it's a totally different team. So, I mean, and that's something that the Warriors have to be concerned about. And we've talked about, we don't know how important it is really to get the number one seed. I mean, you still feel like you could win on the road if you get into the conference finals against the Rockets. But it may come down to that last few days, Ray, where you're looking at it going, okay, we'd rather have this team than that team. And you may not have control of where you're seated at the top. I mean, you may win it or come in second, but I think you want to stay away from the Spurs if they have Kawhi Leonard. I mean, they're going to be so much more difficult.
Well, if you're the two seed, you very well could see them in the first round. How about that for a matchup?
I know.
In the first round with Kawhi back. And you know the Spurs are thinking, we might have beaten them last year with Kawhi healthy.
Yeah.
So that would be an awfully spicy series. And again, the question is going to be how close to 100% is Kawhi when he comes back? Or is it going to be a situation like last year where he had a nagging injury and it was just a matter of time before he re-aggravated it? So, but I think if you're the Spurs, you do everything you can to make sure that guy's on the court. He is so important to them, as we know, at both ends of the floor, former Defensive Player of the Year. Now, the Spurs gave the Warriors a pretty good game, you know, without Curry. But the Warriors had a nice comeback, down 8 points with about 4 minutes to go to win that game behind Durant's clutch shooting. But still, I thought it was a pretty entertaining game. You know they're always going to be dialed in with the system that Greg Popovich has, no matter who's on the floor. Then it comes down to who's making shots. So you get Kawhi out there, that's a pretty dangerous team. Again, I would favor the Warriors, but that's going to make the path a lot tougher. It's going to be a gauntlet for a team to run through the Western Conference this year, and I include Houston in that. And let me stop for a second here and mention, you know, people talk about, well, Houston beat them 2 out of 3. Houston had the 17-game winning streak. They're ready to go in the postseason. You know this and I do. We've seen it year after year. It's a different story in the postseason. How games are officiated, as well as, you know, scouting teams and seeing them one game after the other. Plus, you're not playing back-to-backs. You're not playing 3 games in 4 nights.
No, it's totally different basketball. You're right. And, I mean, I don't know that I've seen a season like this, Ray, where we've talked about the postseason during the regular season more than most you know, NBA seasons. I mean, it's all about the postseason, and I understand that, but I still wonder about this team flipping the switch. I mean, people keep talking about it. They just seem so confident about the Warriors, seem so confident about what they're doing that, you know, losses like the one in Minnesota, second loss in a row, you would think maybe they might be a little bit bummed about that, even though they're missing players. I mean, but they just know. They know that, you know, that doesn't matter when they get to the postseason. It's all about postseason. And I don't know that I've seen a season like this where, you know, a team just kind of knows they're going there. They know what they have to do. And they're just unconcerned about this regular season.
Well, I think, you know, with the losses they had in Portland and Minnesota, you got to look big picture if you're Steve Kerr, and that's exactly what he's doing. I mean, the Portland game, it wasn't lack of effort or anything like that. The game almost got away from them in the second quarter. They came back and made it interesting down the stretch, and then they just sort of ran out of gas again without much bench. And the same story in Minnesota, 3rd game in 4 nights. I don't think daylight savings time had a factor in that game. Might have had a factor with me. I was sleepy all day. But I don't know about the Warriors. They played pretty well, and you know they were there at the end. The effort was there in that game. So I think for Steve Kerr, as long as the effort is there, you're not going to grouse too much, especially when you're down 5 guys. And you know, it came down to what? Durant had a 3 opportunity. Clay had a corner 3 opportunity. They didn't fall, maybe rushed a little bit, and then Towns made a couple of big buckets in the final couple of minutes, and that was that. But, you know, again, a little shorthanded. They still have the 3 All-Stars, but even if you have 3 All-Stars, if your bench is depleted, that can show at the end of games, and I think that's what we've seen these last couple of games. So, again, it's all going to be about getting home and making sure everybody's right, and maybe by the end of the week we'll have a lot more clarity on that.
Let's hear what Steve Kerr had to say, speaking of effort, because he really talked about exactly what you were saying.
You know, guys are trying. As long as the effort is there, I'm fine with some bad shots. It's just, more than anything, it's, you know, we just looked a little tired. We looked like we had some good ones, too, that didn't go. But it's, you know, it's a tough part of the schedule, 3 and 4 nights in 3 different cities and flying all the way across the country yesterday. So with a team that's missing, you know, 5 guys, whatever. So I'm thrilled with the effort. We just couldn't quite get it done.
That's good. I mean, that's good to hear that he's thrilled with the effort of the team, because that's what you want to make sure of. I mean, you got injuries. You want to make sure that you're getting the effort on the defensive end. And, you know, even if you lose a few games here and there, and you got to, you're going to have to bring it against a team like the Lakers on Wednesday for the next game at home, because, you know, the Lakers, look what they did to LeBron and the Cavaliers the other day. Julius Randle just went off, 36 points, 14 rebounds. So even they're a team, you know, even though they're a team that's not going to the postseason, they're going to give you a great effort.
Well, Luke Walton has them going in the right direction. There's no doubt about that. You see their record over the last month. They are playing much better basketball, and that includes at the defensive end. And there's some good young talent there, without a doubt. So that's not going to be the pushover automatic win that it might have been for a few years for the Warriors against the Lakers, which, by the way, I've had a tough time adjusting to with all those years where the Lakers would just beat them like a drum
right,
every single time. You know, and even in the game where Kobe blew out his Achilles, they won, thanks to some questionable officiating at the end of the game. That was a fun post-game show that night. But they're no pushover anymore. There's no doubt about that. They're a team to watch. I mean, you could say that about a few teams in the West. You could say that about Denver, Minnesota. I mean, there's going to be a switch in the balance of power coming up here because, you know, Oklahoma City may be losing Paul George after the season. You know, what's going to happen with them? What's going to happen long-term with Russell Westbrook? Where's LeBron going to go? Or as the billboards say, L.A. Bron. You know, already I think the lobbying campaign has begun. And what would that be like with LeBron in the same division as the Warriors and see him more often? Mike, give me more of that. I want some more drama and controversy. We don't have enough of it.
Do you think there's going to be any drama or controversy with Draymond Green if he gets another technical foul and has to sit down a game? It sounds to me like Steve Kerr doesn't care about that at all from reading his comments or hearing them. I mean, he's basically saying, you know, we need Draymond to be Draymond. And, you know, if he goes out for a game, so what? I mean, it's like, you know, he'll get a rest where, I mean, other teams might be concerned about that. The Warriors are pretty blasé about whether or not Draymond gets a suspension.
Yeah, I think at this point it probably doesn't make a huge difference. Because it doesn't count in the postseason. You'll miss a game at the end of the regular season, but they're not going to fall below the 2 seed. And at this point, I think there's a recognition it's going to be tough to get the 1 seed. So, you know, maybe they're not thinking in those terms, you know, even if they were in contention for the top seed or they were the top seed and trying to hang on. I don't know how upset they would get about it because this is who he is. This is something they're used to. I'm almost disappointed now at the end of the season if he doesn't have his 16 technicals. It's like, you all right? You know, everything okay? you start saying, oh, wait, he's losing the fire. Somebody relight the match. You know, or it's something that's just part of the deal with him. Of course, you want to see a little more restraint. I'll say this. I've seen a couple of times where he could have gotten teed up in the last few games and the referees did not blow the whistle. So I think, in a way, he's fortunate he hasn't gotten there yet. But also, some of those tees are based on reputation. And one of the tees, by the way, got revoked by the NBA recently, too. But this is, I don't think, a shock to anybody, and it's not to Steve Kerr. And, you know, if it means he misses a game at the end of the season, he's given you 80 games of tremendous basketball, both ends of the floor. I think he's down this year, and I think he's admitted it. He's down defensively this year. And he's been battling through a lot of injuries. So maybe in the long run, it's better if he takes a break for a game or two.
And he's had some weird turnovers, too. I mean, it seems like at least once a game he throws some wacky pass or you know, he didn't catch that one pass. And they were on the telecast, they were blaming Quinn Cook on that one feed. I thought Draymond should have just been able to handle that pass, but, you know, that didn't work out. But, yeah, I mean, I think Draymond, he has had a little bit of an off year. He's not hitting his threes as efficiently, and he never was a great three-point shooter, but doesn't seem like he has many big nights shooting the ball from downtown either.
Well, the strategy has always been, I mean, and it's a smart one, try to cover Steph and KD and Clay, leave Draymond open, and he's made you pay a little bit more in the past, not so much this year. And you mentioned at the passing, the outlet passes have been a little sketchy down the stretch. And, you know, the defense has not been as consistent. But I think some of that has to do with the injuries. As far as the three-point shooting, I don't know if that has anything to do with his shoulder or not. Not getting as much arc as he wants on those shots. But the thing about Draymond is he will not make excuses for that. He's going to play. He's going to give you what he's got. And again, with him, it's like I said, if he misses a game, I don't think Kerr is concerned because that'll give him a chance to heal a little bit more from the various dents and dings he has.
Klay Thompson, you know, another game where he, you know, he puts up numbers like 21 points, didn't shoot the ball well from three against Minnesota. But I was looking at other things, Ray. I was just looking at the way he plays defense. You know, he's got to be, you know, one of the better defenders in the league because he can guard some different positions. And you love the way he kind of keeps the same demeanor, even if he's not hitting his threes like he didn't. He just doesn't seem to ever get flustered by anything. And I think that's always a key when you get into crunch time and, you know, when the Warriors get into the playoffs again, they're going to count on him to be the even keel guy.
Yeah, you know, he can be a little inconsistent. I think you've seen that in the postseason. But when he is on, he's incandescent, and he really gives them another dimension. If he's going and Steph's going, you know, look out. You know, he draws the toughest defensive assignment. So, you know, he expends energy at both ends of the floor. Now without Steph, it's a lot tougher for him. And the thing I want people to remember is and watch him play and how good he is on ball defensively. And, you know, guys will score on him. I mean, you see McCollum or Lillard do that because in the NBA, great offense beats great defense. So, you know, I've seen a lot of times where I say, man, he played that guy really well. He kept his feet under him. He went up with a shot, contested it, did everything he's supposed to do, and they drained the shot. You see that so often in the NBA. But I'd be interested at the end of the season to see what the percentage is of opponents on against Klay on contested shots. I'll bet he's one of the better ones in the league. And I think KD was one of those who was kind of pounding the drum for Klay to be on the all-defensive team.
Dubs OT continues after this.
In the late 90s, San Francisco celebrated the opening of Rose's Cafe at 2298 Union Street. Now, 20 years later, Rose's continues to provide a warm, friendly atmosphere, and you can still count on great food. Italian fare created using organic local produce, fresh seafood, humanely raised meats, and free-range poultry. Rose's bakes all of their own pastries and breads. Open 7 days a week, they serve breakfast, lunch, dinner, and brunch on Saturday and Sunday. Check out their menu and hours online at rosescafesf.com. The next time you're driving to or from AT&T Park, stop by Rose's Cafe in Cow Hollow at 2298 Union Street in San Francisco.
To finish up here, looking at Steph Curry, and he's going to get reevaluated on the tweaked ankle here coming up on Tuesday. Even if he's healthy, let's just say that you could put him in games, you know, right away this week or, you know, this upcoming weekend. If you're the Warriors, Ray, do you sit him down, you know, and just kind of, like you were saying, I think you used the term slow play him, you know, into the last maybe 2 weeks of the season, you know, 5-6 games. You just don't want to take too many chances here, but at the same time, you want him to be clicking with everybody when you get closer and closer to the postseason.
Well, I say slow play just in terms of when he comes back, right? Don't rush him back by any means. Make sure he's absolutely positively 100%. Now, that's no guarantee. Something else could happen, another tweak, as he said.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then it gets to the point of, is this the kind of injury that he'd play in the playoffs? And my sense is he probably would have been back a lot sooner had this been the postseason. But in terms of the actual games themselves, it depends on the opponent. I think, you know, if they can get away with it, they're going to try to cut down his minutes. But otherwise, let it fly, right? Let him be the guy he usually is and get him up to the normal amount of minutes by the end of the year. I think that's pretty much what the plan is going to be. You can't hold back on him. Now, if it gets to the end of the season, that last game or two, and he's gotten some games under his belt, and the final games don't have any bearing on the standings, you're going to see a lot of guys get rest.
All right, Ray. Hey, this has been fun. We got another month to go, really, here before the postseason. Then we got, you know, the Giants podcast, Inside China Basin as well.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on that's going to be coming up here as far as podcasting and here in the Bay Area. So this is really going to be exciting here for the next month to get ready for that, for the postseason. And then when we get into it, I mean, that's going to be a thrill.
Well, these teams are testing our podcast durability. There's no doubt about it. I mean, it's the longest regular season that the NBA's ever had, starting on what, October 17th?
Right.
And so, you know, bring on the postseason, please, and, you know, hopefully it goes into June. And then you got the Giants, and spring training games started in late February. And, you know, hopefully they'll be going to October. We'll see about that. I think it's a pretty interesting Giants team this year. Definitely been keeping tabs about stuff that's going on in Scottsdale, and I know you've been down there talking to players. So, yeah, let's get it rolling.
Yeah, looking forward to having you on board once we get to the regular season and, you know, catch our spring training podcast. Those interviews with the players are going on every week here on thesportsvirus.com. Ray, thanks a lot, and we'll talk to you again next week.
You got it, Joe.
Thanks for listening to the Dubs OT Warriors podcast. Join Joe Castellano and Ray Woodson again next week on thesportsvirus.com.